Teen Author Bootcamp presents The Next Bestseller, a podcast for aspiring teen authors. I'm your host, Tracy L. Turner, sitting in for Madeline Bramble. I am a marketing assistant with TABC, and though I'm not actually a writer, I am a visual artist who has a heart for serving the youth. So I'm really happy to step in today and be your host with today's special guest. On The Next Bestseller, if you're new, we learn all about the craft of writing from published authors, from what an author's day might look like to the nitty-gritty process of editing. From character development to plotting your novel, we'll reveal all you need to know to become a best-selling author yourself. Today's guest is Shanti Hershenson. Her first two novellas were published when she was in the sixth grade, although her writing journey started long before then. Ever since she could hold a pencil, marker, or crayon, she was creating stories. They started from pictures, mere scribbles, and eventually turned into captivating tales. She lives in California with her parents, sister, and furry friends. Besides writing, she enjoyed skateboarding, beyblading, free running, falconry, and of course, reading. She writes in a variety of genres, including science fiction, fantasy, and historical fiction, although she mostly sticks to sci-fi. She advocates for anti-bullying as well, and you may find her at open mic nights performing her spoken word poem, Needles and Thorns, which is about the struggle of bullying in middle schools. So, Shanti, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yes, of course. I was really excited about having you on today. So first, I just want to ask, I mean, after that incredible list of things you already do, what's one interesting fact that most people don't know about you?
I guess most people don't know it now, come middle school and everyone would have known. But when I was in about sixth grade, I did free running. So I can do all kinds of really crazy flips, some of them on the trampoline. I could probably do a front flip on grass. However, I haven't tried in a while and don't want to break my arm. But I can do like a bunch of crazy flips and stuff and really weird tricks that a lot of people can't do.
That's amazing. Did you ever go to gymnastics for that or you just taught yourself?
I didn't do gymnastics. I did free running and I went to this free running academy in my city. However, I feel so bad. I had to quit when I started eighth grade because I didn't have a lot of time and I was so tired.
Yeah, that'll do it. Yeah. But that's awesome. So I'm going to go ahead and segue into our first segment, which is A Day in the Life. Have y'all ever wondered how authors find the time to write even with the busiest schedules? When do they write? What helps when they get in the mindset to write? So I'm going to go into some questions for you, Shanti, to ask what a day in the life as an author looks like for you. So first thing, give us a brief overview of your most recent book story, Never Dying.
So Never Dying, I have to say Never Dying's like the best book I've written. It's my favorite. I've yet to write something better than it. Never Dying takes place in a dystopian future in which a random handful of society are immortal due to a genetic mutation. By immortal, it's basically, there are different degrees to immortality. So there's like first degree immortals where their skin can't easily be pierced by like larger objects. They don't get sick. They don't feel pain. And there's like secondary degree immortals where they heal extremely quickly. And the book follows Scarlet, a first degree immortal. And the problem is the immortals, no matter their degree, are on the run because the government wishes to hunt them down. The reason for this is just like overpopulation and such. So back to Scarlet, the main character. She's been hiding since she was 12 years old. She does not like being immortal at all, but she has to deal with it. And one day she goes outside. She's like, I don't know what happened. She's kicked out or something really ridiculous like that. And she encounters Kane. Kane is an exterminator. He's the government operator who is forced to hunt down and kill the immortals. However, Kane has a secret himself, and that's that he's an immortal too. The two really don't like each other, obviously. I'm trying not to spoil the book. It's literally in the blurb. I also have to specify because people get mad at me. And they don't like each other, but they're going to have to get along. I don't know how much I can really say because I'm forgetting what's in the blurb. But it's a really exciting book, and it's probably my favorite.
It sounds incredible. I'm sitting
Thank
here
you.
about to type up like, okay, what's is it on Audible, girl? Because let me find that. I'll listen to it while I'm working. And I want to know what's going on with these immortals. Oh, that's great. That's really, really cool. So what has been your favorite experience as an author?
Oh, that's such a great question. I have to say, doing in-person book events is so much fun. That was one of the main things I really wanted to do, and that was like one of my dreams when I first started writing. Was like, oh my gosh, when I have a printed book and then I can do book signings and then people are gonna want to meet me. It's really cool. So I did I've done two in-person events. I did a solo event at Mysterious Galaxy Bookstore in downtown San Diego, and then I did the San Diego Festival of Books. I have to say, the Festival of Books was a lot scarier.
Oh,
And
why?
just because I don't know, there were other authors there, but they had so much more people come up to me at the Festival of Books. And at first, I was absolutely horrified because, like, the festival opened. And by the way, it was really early. It was like, I mean, it was like 10 o'clock. And to be fair, I don't usually on weekends wake up until like 11. And I got there at like 8 in the morning. And
Ouch.
someone like came to my booth. It was like right as it opened. They were the first one. And they just started asking me so many questions. They were like, how do you outline your books? How do you do this? How do you do that? I don't know why. Because it was like, I don't know. They were probably at least like 60 years older than me. And it was a guy and his wife, and they wouldn't stop asking me questions. And they were like, so do you outline? What do you do? Tell me how you do this. And then they didn't buy any of my books, even though they like took
Oh.
like 20 minutes of my time. And then they were like, aren't you a little young to have written this many books, as they walked away. And I was like
No way.
terrified, because I was like, if the rest of my day is going to be like this, I'm not doing it. And then I ended up selling like 25 books. I think it was
Oh,
great.
wow. Congrats.
Thanks. But like that first interaction was so scary.
I'll say if that was the introduction, oh man.
Yeah.
And then he didn't even buy anything after all that. The nerve. Well,
Yeah.
that must be kind of surreal, though. I mean, have you been to your favorite author's book signings and kind
Yeah.
of had a, kind of like fangirled out a little bit? And now you're on the other end where people are coming up to you. Oh my gosh, yeah.
Yeah, it's very scary, but it's so much fun.
Yeah, it adds that extra point of connecting with people for sure.
Yeah, I got to talk to a lot of really interesting people. I had parents like bring their kids to my booth. I also had parents buy my books for their like 8-year-old kids, which was a
Oh,
little
yeah.
scary. Don't buy like the enemies to lovers romance novel for your kid, please. Just don't.
So when you were writing Never Dying, what was your writing kryptonite?
Well, that's such a good question. Honestly, just wanting to. So there was one scene in the book. It was just one that I had planned, and I had planned it right as I started writing. And I wanted to get to it so badly that like I could not stop writing until I got to that scene. It took me probably 2 months to actually get to that scene because it's like right at the end of the
Wow.
book, but I had been waiting for so long.
If you could turn back the time and talk to your younger self, I know you're already very young, but even younger, what would you tell yourself and why?
So, I think there are multiple different points in which I'd like to go back in time and tell myself different writing advice. For one, I'd say in fourth grade, don't let like other people's opinions of your writing get to you, and don't let one event prevent you from writing. So, in fourth grade, we had this thing called the publishing parade, and the teacher would pick multiple kids from the class, and it was like multiple times a year. And she would pick multiple kids from the class to read their writing, and I was never picked. And like I asked, and I was like, hey, can I read it? And she was like, I don't remember if she told me I was not good enough or something, but it really hurt.
God.
And then there was this kid, and he was always picked, and he said I was a horrible writer. And I
Oh.
mean, look at me now. So
Exactly.
so I just like to tell myself, like, it's gonna be okay. And a 9-year-old's opinion of your writing is not going to matter in 5 years.
Yeah, absolutely. Because what do they know?
Yeah.
What's one writing rule or piece of advice that you ignored in your story?
Oh, in like my first novel or like Never Dying?
Sure, we can talk about Never Dying, or if there's just any rule in general that you typically ignore when you write.
Okay, definitely in terms of things I ignore now. I know a lot of authors are against, like, is it adverbs that a lot of people don't like? I don't mind them. Like, occasionally they can work. And if you're using, like, really long dialogue tags, it's worse. So if you're like, he said that at a really fast pace or something, then it's just weird instead of he said that quickly.
Got it.
And I mean, sometimes like using those occasional longer dialogue tags are really good and they add more detail, but like you don't want to do that all the time. And yeah, when I was writing my first novel, all the sentences were really long and flowy and the dialogue tags were longer than some of the actual pieces of dialogue. It was so bad. That was why, so that was 250,000 words and that's why, but it was awful.
Now that's a rule I've never heard. So me as a non-writer, I don't understand why adverbs would be so bad. Is it just that they sound bad or they read poorly when you're in a reading a book?
I don't know. I've never had a problem with them.
Yeah.
Because if I'm being honest, like, it's, you know, a part of varying sentence structure is usually really important, and it's not varying sentence structure if every time you want to describe the way someone says or does something, you do it in this immense detail. And, like, occasionally, it's good, but if the action doesn't matter, it would be better to, like, if just a little action, it would be better to describe it in, like, one sentence, not one sentence, one word as opposed to one sentence, like.
Got it.
Yeah.
Got it. So in your opinion, what is your most important quality and how does it help you achieve your goal in writing?
I'm very resilient, not just like, you know, not only in writing, but just kind of how I've lived, but especially in writing. I'll have books that have the most absurd plot holes. The one I'm editing right now had, I don't remember what it was, but it was awful. Like, it completely killed me to try to fix. That was the one book. I had, like, there were, like, multiple different plot lines going on. It's only in one POV.
Okay.
And I have never had to tie more things together than that one book. I did it, but now I have to edit it, so.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's when you have to be real honest with yourself. Like, all right, how I got to fix this. How do I wrap this up? Maybe this doesn't even need to be in there.
Yeah.
So what's next in your writing journey?
Well, currently I'm working on a book that's sort of a new thing. It's a high fantasy novel, and I've never written a high fantasy novel before. So it's like, it's a whole new market, and it's a whole new target audience.
Okay, right, yeah.
I guess that's technically kind of new. I'm trying to get a booth at the LA Festival of Books because I did San Diego, so and I was able to break even there. So I'm hoping I can break even at LA. However, they said they were going to release the exhibitor information in mid-September, and it's almost the end of October.
Oh,
but...
Well, guess we'll see what happens there at some point, allegedly. Well, that's cool. So what made you want to change it up with your genre and try something that you haven't done before?
Well, I've been writing, you know, dystopian for around 2 years now, and I've been publishing it. And it's a really fun genre, but it's not as popular as high fantasy. And I have some other dystopian ideas, actually, that I'm probably going to do at some point. But I also want to expand a little, because a lot of fantasy readers may read a dystopian novel. But at the same time, I don't know if there are any dystopian readers who would read a fantasy novel. There probably are. It's like kind of interchangeable, but it would also expand to new genres. Because if I can have a book in like most genres, then I'll have a larger audience. Because that's like what I'm thinking for the future is I'm just going to be a crazy multi-genre author.
Yeah, why not? Yeah. I think that's the thing with being creative, you really can do whatever you want if you choose not to box yourself in. I know definitely with painting, that's what I do. It can kind of feel like, all right, I have to only paint a certain subject matter because that's what people know me for. But really, you can just do whatever you want. Who cares? Just
because if I box myself in the genre I wrote when I was like 12, then it's like I'm not like expanding enough, and then like it's there's probably so much potential that I'm wasting. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've been writing dystopian and like science fiction and alien invasion for so long that it's like, I don't know, there's so much more I could try.
Yeah, and being young too, growing up, your interests definitely change, your influences change over time. I mean, why not kind of go where your heart is tugging you, right?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you for indulging us with that segment. We're going to take a little ad break and come back.
This podcast is sponsored by Teen Author Bootcamp. TABC is a nonprofit organization that brings best-selling authors and writing workshops to teen writers at affordable prices. For over a decade, TABC has held an annual writing conference for teens in the month of March in Provo, Utah, and is now available virtually. For more writing tips and tricks, go check TABC out on our website, teenauthorbootcamp.net, or at teenauthorbootcamp on social media platforms.
Okay, and we are back with Shanti Hershenson, and we're going to move on to our next segment, which is called Next Level Craft. Need advice that will better your craft? Well, here we go. Next Bestseller Podcast, we focus on a specific element of writing to help you reach the next level craft. Today, we will discuss getting to the end of your story and overcoming the habit that we all may have, which is starting lots of projects or stories and never finishing them. So, Shanti, you wrote 11 books at the age of 14 and published them in a span of 2 years. That's freaking incredible. How were you able to finish all of those stories in that short amount of time?
Well, relating to the problem of like, you know, starting books, never finishing them, I don't do that. I cannot stress this enough. Like, you know, occasionally it's okay to scrap a project, but it's also, if you're starting and finishing projects, there is something that you need to try to solve. Honestly, like when it comes to that, I usually try to like figure out, like if I have a new idea that's really bothering me, it's like, I have to write this. Mm-hmm. One, it's more motivation to finish the last book, so then I can go do that in a bit. And also, if there's something that, like, I really want to write, why not add it to the book I'm writing? Very often, I'll find that it's not necessarily a premise I want to write as much as it's, like, a trope. So then I'll try to incorporate that trope in the book I'm writing. And if I can't, I'll save it and I'll, like, use the next idea as motivation. Often, also, when people scrap ideas, they might be bored with something in the book and it's not interesting to them. And, oh, I have so much to say relating to that.
Well, we have some time if you'd like to go into it a little bit. Yeah.
If the book feels boring to you and if it's not interesting, there's so much you can do to spice it up instead of just like skipping a whole portion or scrapping it. For one, you could add some ridiculous plot twist to it. I mean, I don't recommend like throwing in dragons and it's like a contemporary novel, but there are things, you know, you can add that would make it interesting, or you could add like a conversation that's going on. Because if it's like you want to write a scene where characters are just doing something, but it's like really boring, add some dialogue. And also often if you find a scene's like really boring and it's like not important to the story, you can cut it and sort of skip to the next scene, if that makes sense. As long as you like, if it's important that they were doing something, but not as important to actually show them doing that, just like mention it and use like a scene break or a chapter break. And also if everything feels absolutely awful, just ask yourself what's the worst that can happen. And just do it. That works in some scenarios, not all. If it's like one of my dystopian novels, I had no plot for it whatsoever. I was just writing as I was going. And every chapter, I just asked myself, what's the worst that could happen? I finished that, the first draft of that novel, in 16 days. And it's a 70,000 word book. Because everything was always exciting.
That's cool. So, during that time, what was the easiest story for you to write and why?
Definitely the one I just mentioned, The Accidental Insurgent.
Okay.
I don't think I had a single problem with that book. Some of my books, it's like, I'll be like, oh no, this needs to happen. This needs to happen. What is going to happen? Like, because sometimes I'll put these characters in these situations and I can't figure out how to get them out of that, or I'll have something planned and I can't figure out how to get them to that point. I didn't have any problems with this book. It just came out so well. It was like the book was writing itself.
If only they could all be like that, right?
Yeah.
So on the flip side, what was the hardest one and why?
Oh, that's a good question. I want to say, so the Bane of Angel Fall Academy, I'm actually currently editing that while I'm simultaneously writing another book. That book was a pain just because of all the plot points coming together, but there was never really a moment where I wanted to give up. Mm-hmm. So I guess the hardest book I've ever written has got to be Biomlock. That was the first novel I ever wrote. It was the one that I had all these sentence structures for. And it's really long. It was 250,000 words. I have a printed version of the first draft. It's 800 pages long. Now, currently, wow. It's actually split into a trilogy. And the first book's published. The rest aren't. But that book, it had so much going on. And it was really long. And it had all these different POVs. And on top of that, it was my first novel.
Mm-hmm.
And the quality of my writing from when I first started to when I finished is so different. That it doesn't feel like it was written by the same person.
Wow.
I had to go back and rewrite it like 5 different times. It was it was a pain.
Like birthing that first baby, man.
Yeah.
So when you lose steam on writing a story, which it sort of sounds like you don't really, but if you ever lose steam, how do you regain that love and desire to finish it?
Well, I try to find a scene that's coming up that I'm, of course, really excited for.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of mentioned it earlier, I try to add stuff that makes it interesting. Mm-hmm. If a book has a lot of really exciting scenes that even if like they just only matter a little to the story, as long as they're moving the story forward, you know, add a side plot, add a cute little scene, and those are often really fun to write. Because if you're just having something really boring going on, I mean, it's actually probably going to be more boring for you than your readers because you know what's going to happen.
Right.
But it still doesn't hurt to add something exciting every now and then.
So you wrote those 11 books around the pandemic time, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. So how did the pandemic or being on lockdown or just going through that experience in general, how did that contribute to helping you get through those stories?
I think a part of it, I had like, I don't remember. It's such a long time ago. It's hard to remember.
Mm-hmm.
I was so bored and I wanted to do something that was meaningful. I had been watching anime all day. I was playing video games nonstop, and it was just completely depressing. I was binge watching Star Wars every single day, and I was like, if this is gonna be my life for the next however long, I didn't even know how long it was gonna be, then I want to make something of it. And that's what I ended up doing. I have to say, the pandemic influenced my work a lot.
Yeah.
Considering Biomlock is about a bunch of teenagers isolated, I wasn't aware of the fact that it was so heavily inspired by the pandemic until I was done with it and like my parents were reading it and they were like, this is like the pandemic.
My next question is, what can teens do now to start a writing career?
I think the best thing a teen can do is just write, try to develop their skills, try to figure out their craft. I have to say, like, you're never too old to write a book and you're never too young to write a book. So you have to really start when it's ready for you. Because, you know, there are some teenagers I've spoken to and like they want to write a book, but like they don't have the time or they don't have the motivation and they really have to develop that. And that can take years to actually develop. It took me probably months to actually get into the habit of writing regularly. And that's really quick. I've managed to really just, I don't know if it's lucky. It's just pretty random. Like I feel like I haven't done extra work than a lot of people I know. I have a lot of really natural motivation.
Mm-hmm.
And I've really just completely turned this into like my favorite thing. So honestly, just start writing now. You know, start writing your first book. You may not publish your first book. You may end up scrapping it, but just start writing. If you have an idea for a book, try it out. You know, I think it's easier to write a book than people might think, but it can also be very, very hard. Honestly, it's a lot of a mindset thing, but also, you know, practicing. So I write 1,000 words every single day, and I've just made that my habit. I really can't go without doing that. And that's something that takes probably years to do. I gotta say, I think it took me years to do too, but now I'm here and I have a whole writing career, so anyone can do it too.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Thanks.
What advantages do teens have over adults when it comes to writing?
I think generally a lot of teenagers do have, and a lot of teenagers may argue with this, but they have a lot more motivation than adults do, and they might not realize it. A problem with adults is that they often feel like they're too old to write a book and they've like missed their chance, which is absolutely not true. You can write a book at any age. You can be 90 and write your first book, and you can be like 12 and write your first book or younger. So in that way, teenagers are lucky. Also, we don't, well, we may have school. I mean, most of us, we don't have like a family, and we don't have, not like, we don't have kids, and we
Right,
don't have like work.
yeah.
So there's that. So we have, in a way, less responsibilities and in a way, more responsibilities. However, it's still, I don't know. I'm worried once I'm an adult and I have kids and I have a, I mean, actually, I'm hoping writing's gonna be my job. So there's
Yeah,
that. But
right.
yeah.
Yeah, so as an older creative myself, that is the balance. It's super hard once, like you said, you start having kids and your responsibilities get way more serious and just other things that you introduce in your life become more of a time suck. But I'm also going to put out there that writing is going to be your full-time career, so you won't even have to worry about what that
Thanks.
looks like. But I think even if you aren't doing writing full-time, or anybody listening to this, if you're not a full-time creative, you still are an artist, you still are creative, you're always going to be connected to that. And you'll always be able to access it whenever you're ready. So never feel bad if there are lulls or hiatuses, whatever it is. It's always there in you. And whatever's going on around in life doesn't change that. That's me on my
Yeah.
soapbox.
I have a lot of people reach out to me and tell me they want to be a writer, but they don't know how. It's like, if you write, you're a writer.
Exactly. Yep. Listen to her, y'all. So, what is a question that you would have liked me to ask you, and how would you answer?
I don't know. I have
Oh,
to think. I'm so sorry. I really don't know. You
no,
asked a
it's
lot of really great
okay.
questions, so.
No, it's fine. That's great. That means we're covering a lot of good stuff. So,
Yeah.
last part is, where can people find you?
So you can find me first off on my website, which is shantihershenson.com. That's shantihershenson.com. It's mostly up to date. My press page is a little out of date, but that's because I'm trying to remodel it. You can also find all of my books on Amazon. If you just look up my name or specific book title, I'm sure it'll come up. You can also find me on like Barnes and Noble. I think even Target and Walmart have them online. You might be able to even find me in some bookstores. Honestly, I can't keep track of all the in-person places. I have people reach out to me and they're like, "Hey, I found your book in the store." And I'm like, "Wait, what?" So, really, anywhere you can buy books online and in a limited amount of bookstores.
Awesome. So we're going to enter our lightning round now. This is called Pantser or Plotter. Are your favorite authors pantsers or plotters, or a mix of both? A plantser? Here comes our lightning round. Let's get to know Shanti with fun and possibly silly questions. So, first, I've said it several times now, pantser or plotter, Shanti?
Definitely more of a pantser. However, I'd say I'm kind of a planter. What I end up doing is I start a book with a very limited outline and then I'll end up plotting it as I
What is your guilty pleasure read?
Oh no. Okay. I find some of the strangest books and I will read them and they're very funny. I don't know if I can really name specific books here, just
Oh,
like
okay.
very, very strange plots.
That's good enough for me.
Yeah.
What is or was the worst part of the COVID pandemic for you?
Definitely Zoom school. I want to say Zoom school, but that's not true because I was on my phone and I was like writing all day. And I do miss it as much as I really hated it. So I guess learning math on Zoom. I did not learn a single thing in seventh grade math.
Yeah, no, I think they just gave everybody a pass these last couple of years. We don't know going on, but we're doing our best.
I was struggling so much. I'm not sure I turned in a single thing. I think I turned in a few things. I ended the class with a B minus. So.
Oh, hey, works for me. Yeah. All things considered, that's pretty good. If you could meet up with any book character for lunch, who would it be?
Charlie from The Perks of Being a Wallflower. I was about to say Kaz Brekker from Six of Crows, but I think he'd kill me, so.
Yeah, let's stick with the safe option.
Yeah.
You still need to grow up and be that full-time writer.
Yeah.
What is the best thing about being a writer?
Definitely getting to create these characters and watching them turn in to, like, just from go from, like, being a little, just small idea to being almost, like, feeling like real people, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, perfect sense. Yep. If you weren't a writer, what would you be?
Maybe a therapist, but I don't think I'd be a very good therapist. I was a therapist friend in eighth grade, so.
Did that experience informed you about your future therapy? If you could have a billboard with anything on it, what would it be and why?
I mean, an advertisement for my books probably would be.
Yeah, kind of- hey.
Yeah.
No shame.
Gotta do the marketing.
What's your favorite song to get you out of a writing funk?
Oh, I have a lot. I want to say Another Love by Tom O'Dell might do the trick. I used to listen to that every day and it would like wake my brain up because I was just used to hearing it when I would start writing. However, I don't know if that would still work now.
So why do you think teens should join Teen Author Bootcamp?
Well, I think if teens need support, which I feel like every teen writer needs support. Like, that's kind of a must. And I think, yeah.
Yeah.
To get support and to meet other teen authors, too, would be, like, really cool.
Yes, definitely. Definitely. What is your hope for the future generations of authors?
More books are going to be written with like more diversity and representation.
Yes.
It's really important. A lot of people don't realize that. Like, I'll be reading books and I feel like every character is like exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like important that we have diversity and like different races, different sexualities, just everything.
Yes, I completely agree.
Yeah.
Do you think that we're on that trend now or we're kind of far off from it?
I think we're getting there, but a lot of things could be done better.
Got it. Okay. That's pretty much it. Shanti, I have enjoyed speaking with you today. You are so delightful.
Thank you.
I'm going to go ahead and close the show out. Thank you so much again for joining us on today's episode of The Next Bestseller. Find out more information about Teen Author Bootcamp by following at Teen Author Bootcamp on social media and at teenauthorbootcamp.com. As well, please follow The Next Bestseller podcast on Instagram at The Next Bestseller to keep a lookout for more episode releases. You can find out more about our events and sign up to have your work critiqued on a future podcast if you like. Make sure to tune in next time for more writing tips and tricks and to learn more about your favorite authors. Here's to one of y'all to being the next bestseller. Happy writing!